As I'm sure you know, Pastor Carl and Jane are in Brooklyn celebrating Jack's third birthday, and so I'm grateful to Kristen for providing us with a ministry of music this morning, and it's nice to have the Kirks with us on this Sunday, so welcome. I'd like to read to you now from Matthew's Gospel, from the fifth chapter, the opening verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, speak these words once again to our hearts, and help us to respond in trust, in love, in faithfulness and obedience to bring honor and glory to your name. Amen. You know, near the beginning of the Lord's ministry, after he's called his first followers, and after he's performed his first miracles, Jesus gathers them on a mountainside above the Sea of Galilee and delivers what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. That sermon begins with nine verses called the Beatitudes, all beginning with the same word, usually translated blessed, though some versions use the word happy. And though that may not be the most accurate translation, when you combine it with the word beatitude, you have the title for my sermon, which is Happy-Attitudes. And in fact, when we understand what the Lord is seeking to teach us in the opening verses of this sermon, we begin to realize that there are certain attitudes or ways of looking at ourselves and the world around us which enable us to be blessed in very special ways. But the place to begin talking about being blessed is to make clear what it is not. It would be a mistake to think that those who are blessed by God have a trouble-free life. Now, it's true that in the book of Proverbs we read, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. And yet Jesus tells us specifically that as his followers, we are going to face tribulation in this world. And the Apostle Paul, in one of his letters to the Corinthians, details many of the things that he has suffered as he has sought to live his life for the Lord, including being persecuted for his faith. And the Savior himself, the blessed one of the Father, says that he had no place to lay his head, and he ended his life on a cross. So whatever else being blessed may mean, it does not include being favored with a life free from suffering or deprivation or hardship. Ultimately, to be blessed by God means that we have been set right, put in a right relationship with our Maker. We are blessed when we are at peace with a holy God. And that's precisely what our Savior came into the world to accomplish for us. For the Scriptures tell us that by nature we are enemies of God, and left to ourselves and our own devices, we will live at cross purposes with the will of God. And the price of our rebellion is physical and spiritual death. So the Son of God came into the world to rescue us sinners. He did that by taking upon himself the sins of the whole world And then, as our substitute, he took responsibility for our transgressions and endured the death penalty which we deserve. By trusting in him and his sacrifice for us, we are set right with God. The warfare has ended, and we are blessed with peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. More than that, being blessed, we not only are reconciled to God, we are blessed as adopted children to be able to call God our Father. And at the heart of that blessing is the awareness that our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally and loves us with a love which will never end. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities us. He remembers what we're made of and is full of compassion and mercy. We are blessed by the knowledge that our Heavenly Father is not only all-loving, our Heavenly Father is also all-powerful, and that as our Father, God is at work in everything for our good. So no matter what we may have to face or deal with in this life, we are blessed by the assurance that nothing can separate us from that divine love. Not height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation. In Christ, God has chosen us, and we are his, and he is ours forever and forever. Being blessed by God also means that we have an ever-present helper in every time of need. We are blessed when we receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord, and his Holy Spirit comes into our lives and takes up residence in our physical bodies, because that means that you and I are never truly alone. We are not only blessed in times of trial to know that God is in charge and intent on using such experiences for our good, we are also blessed by the fact that we do not have to deal with such times and experiences, such trials, by ourselves or in our own strength. We have the Lord's promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. And by the indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit, that promise is kept. The risen and reigning Christ is with us, as his Holy Spirit is at work, blessing us with the gift of his life and his power. And so, being blessed, we have peace, we have protection, and we have his powerful presence. Now, in the Beatitudes, the Son of God reveals the kinds of attitudes we need to cultivate if we hope to enjoy the blessings which he has for us. Jesus knows that we need to see ourselves in a particular light if he is going to bless us. We need to recognize that we are poor in spirit and that we need to be sorry for that poverty. Being poor in spirit is simply a way of describing the fact that in our sinfulness, we have very little spiritual depth. We consistently fail to see just how sinful we are. We're blind to the plan God has for our lives. We have very little in the way of spiritual resources when it comes to carrying out God's will. And until we realize that, and until it grieves us and makes us truly unhappy with the state of our souls, we will never consistently experience the blessings God has for us as his people. And the response we're to make to the reality of our poverty and need is an attitude of meekness and a desire for purity of heart. In Bible times, the word Jesus uses for being meek is one which was used of farm animals which had been broken to the bit and bridle and could be controlled. So being meek is not about being a weak person. It has to do with learning to be submissive to God's will for our lives. And when the Holy Spirit, or when the Lord speaks of purity of heart, what he has in mind is having a singleness of purpose. The Bible says that double-minded people, individuals whose hearts are always pulling them in two or more directions, are unstable in all their ways. The pure in heart are those who have one goal in mind and one purpose in their hearts, and that is to know and to do the will of God, to live their lives always to the honor and glory of the one who blesses them. But the attitudes which enable us to be blessed by the Lord also include our attitudes toward the people around us. Jesus assures us that it's the merciful and the peacemakers who are blessed by him. Now, mercy is a quality we all need. For mercy is always a matter of not getting what we deserve. If we all got what we deserved, we would be in big trouble. And by maintaining an attitude toward others, which factors in our own need for mercy, we put ourselves in a position to receive the mercy and forgiveness God has for us. And in the process, we become peacemakers. We see the people around us as potential sisters and brothers in Christ. And so we tear down walls and we build bridges. We are blessed to be at peace with God ourselves, and as the children of God, we're called to have a ministry of reconciliation as we call others to join us in the family of faith. One more attitude central to being blessed by God has to do with hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And beyond that, having a desire for that righteousness which makes us willing to suffer in our efforts to receive it. One aspect of righteousness has to do with our right standing before a holy God. And such righteousness is a gift of God given to us when we put our trust in Christ. He covers us with His perfect holiness, and that makes us acceptable in God's sight. But having received that righteousness, we are then called to live into it, to begin the struggle of letting go of the old sinful ways and of putting on Christ and His qualities. But such righteousness also has to do with justice. It has to do with treating others fairly. And we are blessed when we do what we can to see that wrongs are righted and that injustice no longer controls the way people treat one another. In the Beatitudes, the Lord also helps us to see what the benefits which these attitudes and blessings hold for us as we cultivate them and receive them. And the first of those benefits, I would say, is hope. Now, I'm talking about Christian hope, not the kind of hope the world hangs on to, because worldly hope is, to me, more wishful thinking. Christian hope is the deeply felt assurance that what has been promised to us will be fulfilled. And one of the primary hopes we have is that the kingdom of heaven is ours and will be ours. There is something waiting for us beyond this life which is more wonderful than anything we can even begin to imagine. In fact, the Bible says there's a new heaven and a new earth coming, and it's all going to belong to those who are the children of the coming King, to all those who've made the Son of God their Savior and their Lord. A second benefit which flows from having the attitudes in which bring God's blessing is, I think, a sense of satisfaction. Because those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Those who mourn will be comforted. Those who show mercy will receive mercy. In contrast to a world which is never satisfied, always searching for something more or something better or something different, those who are blessed by God find their deepest longing satisfied as they open their hearts to the Lord and allow Him to give them what they most need, His righteousness, His mercy, and the comfort of His presence and His love. The Apostle Paul has written that godliness with contentment is great gain, and that contentment and that godliness come to those who have what I would call the happy attitudes, which are described in the Beatitudes. A third benefit the Lord announces in the opening verses of the Sermon on the Mount is that God's blessing brings clarity to our thinking and our living. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." In one sense, that promise will be fulfilled when Jesus either calls us home at the end of our lives or when He returns at the end of the ages. For then we will see Him as He is, face to face. But even now, in this present age, when our hearts are pure and not divided, when we really want to live our lives for Christ, I believe that the Holy Spirit will help us to see ever more clearly what it is that we are being called to be and to do as God's people here on earth. As we search the Scriptures, as we spend time in prayer, as we seek the wisdom of fellow believers, the Spirit will open our eyes and we will clearly see God's will for us. There's one more benefit which comes from being blessed by God, and that's the confidence it brings as we move through life. When we are blessed, our identity is all wrapped up in the fact that we are the children of God. No matter what the world may say about us, we have a righteousness which is ours in Christ. We've received mercy and forgiveness. We have an inheritance waiting for us secure in the heavens. Our lives are firmly held in the nail-pierced hands of our Savior. Nothing anyone ever says or does can take those things away from us. And in fact, those who have been blessed by God are so confident in that blessing that they can face persecution and slander without fear, without bitterness. Indeed, they are enabled to face it with joy, for they know that they share their identity with that great cloud of faithful witnesses who have suffered before them. But in conclusion, let me return to where I began. The source of all our blessings is the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the better you and I get to know God, the more blessed we will be. The more we learn of our Heavenly Father's nature, the more we surrender to His will, the deeper our relationship becomes, the more blessed we will be as His children. By the same token, the more we know of God the Son, the more we learn about Jesus and how He lived His life on earth, the closer we seek to follow Him, the greater will be our blessing as His disciples. And in the same way, the deeper our relationship with God the Holy Spirit becomes, the better we get to know Him as an ever-present reality in our lives, the more we surrender our hearts to Him and let Him fill us, the more blessed we will be. So I hope you can see that this opening section of the Sermon on the Mount is our Savior's call to you and me to come and to be His disciples just as it was to those who first heard these words so long ago. He's inviting us to discover the promised blessings which belong to all those who call upon Him as their Savior and their Lord. But you know, the rest of that sermon is filled with tremendous challenges, the challenges we will face as we seek to follow Him. The challenge to love our enemies and to turn the other cheek. The challenge to be free of anger and lust and revenge. The challenge to be able to control our thoughts and our tongues. The challenge to be a blessing to the world around us. And such things will never be possible for us until we allow the Holy Spirit to nurture in us those attitudes which will make us open and able to receive the blessings which have been promised to us in God's Word. But all we need is the happy attitude of acknowledging our need, asking the Lord to bless us in the ways He knows that are best, so that we may be a blessing to others. Amen.